Federal officials consider housing affordable when it costs less than 30% of its residents' income. By that measure, affordable housing is outside the reach of more than 60,000 families in Ingham, Clinton, and Eaton counties, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. As of this morning, there's a new game plan to increase quality affordable housing in the Lansing area. Since 2012, the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition has been gathering information and data to create a five-year plan for affordable housing. The so-called ICE report, that's an acronym for both Ingham, Clinton, and Eaton, and Innovative, Collaborative, and Empowering, is released today. GLHC administrators hope the report gives direction to key decision makers. The ICE report focuses on addressing the particular needs of low-income families, older people, and those with disabilities. I had a chance to discuss the report late yesterday with two administrators with the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition. Catherine Draper is that organization's executive director. Susan Moriarty is a research associate there. I first asked Catherine Draper to talk about how the report was assembled.
2.5 years ago, we received the grant for this project, for the housing plan, and we immediately convened a group, what we would call a tri-county focus group, to work on this plan, and we decided that they would meet, you know, quarterly and give us input into the plan. From there, we went on to create focus groups by counties and asked individual citizens to participate. Susan did a lot of interviewing out in the community.
Yeah, after we had finished all the focus groups out in the communities, and we ended up doing, we think about 25 to 30 of them. Then we did interviews with housing developers, with people with lending institutions, with landlords, realtors, and then we did a couple with some of our major employers just to make sure that we were talking to everybody that we felt had information we needed.
It was interesting. We wanted more major employers involved, and they were the most difficult to get to come to the table.
You divide the report into two sections, issues and opportunities. First, the issues. Let's run through a few of those. Mm-hmm. Demand for rental units will grow in the next 5 years due to more older people, retiring baby boomers, and younger people as well, trying to keep their debt under control or dealing with stagnant incomes. Are we facing a shortage of rental units in the future?
We currently have a shortage of rental units, yes, definitely in our area. And it's going to continue in the future because even as we talked about the millennial people, the young people, they do not want to own homes in this time and economy. They're more interested in being able to move about and don't want to be tied down to, you know, a permanent home.
But the report says the higher quality rental units is important as well. It's not just quantity, it's quality. How's the area's affordable housing supply deficient in quality terms?
A lot of it really is not handicap accessible. And when we look at the populations that are coming, not so much the millennials, but the boomers, as they retire and they're going to be wanting to move more into rental units, smaller units, and rental probably will be an option for many of them. Finding places that are handicap accessible is going to continue to be difficult.
And how do you make quality affordable? That's the tightrope that you need to walk here, right?
It really is. We need more enforcement. We need more codes. We need the community to commit to actually providing affordable housing, especially for low-income people. They're the ones that are in the, what I would call, less than acceptable housing conditions.
The report also speaks to non-compliance with fair housing law, housing discrimination, basically. Is illegal discrimination in housing common in the Lansing area?
It's not commonly reported. We don't find that we have a lot of incidences, and we've checked on that. But we feel if we had a fair housing center here, which we do not, it would assist people in finding avenues to address their housing issues with landlords and also landlords working with renters.
A fair housing center is one of the recommendations that you make in your report.
Yes.
Let's turn to a few of those recommendations.
Yes.
You refer to them as opportunities. We need an increased investment in quality, affordable housing first. But you write that's hard due to sequestration and other federal budget cuts. Are you saying there are local and state opportunities to increase funding?
Whoa, not right now, because I think they're diminishing. But what we're proposing are things like a local housing trust fund, which we know is available in other cities such as Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo, and that's funded by the cities and by some money from developers. And that money is set aside to actually provide low-income housing for people. Another opportunity is what I would call inclusionary zoning, whereby when communities are developed, they will set aside a certain amount of their housing in a community, say 20%. I think that's the norm, and it's been done in other areas. New Jersey, another example would be South Bend. I know they've created some communities where the housing is very diverse, but they have established a guideline that 20% of the new communities have to have reservations for low-income people to live in. And that's a way, you know, it's called inclusionary zoning, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to pursue.
How important is the increased investment? I mean, without it, is the area really facing a problem?
I think we are. Well, I think Susan would agree. I mean, if you look at what's happening in our urban areas versus the suburban communities, you know, the high-income areas, well, they remain high-income and they have good housing opportunities, but they're for high-income people. The apartments out there are expensive. Rental units are expensive. In the urban areas, you know, there's housing, but it's substandard. It may not cost as much, but it's not an acceptable living arrangement.
Anything to add to that, Susan?
What we've seen is we know that the states and the federal agencies that fund housing, they continue to see their budgets cut. So we do have to look for other ways to fund housing. We also have to be vigilant about making sure that the affordable housing that we have right now stays as affordable housing. And that's also in the report. A lot of them have subsidies that are term limited, you might say. They're going to expire. And at that point, the owners can revert them back to market rate. Now, we don't have any coming up in the coming several years, but starting in 2020, there are a bunch of them that are already out there. They're being subsidized, so they're affordable housing. But if we don't...
The developer can choose to turn them into just regular housing if they prefer that.
Our guest today on Current State, Catherine Draper, Executive Director of the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition, and Research Associate Susan Moriarty. We're talking about GLHC's new Fair and Affordable Housing Initiatives report, the next 5 years, which becomes available today. To improve housing choice, the report recommends that 20% of all housing constructed be designated for low-income households. Would that be an increase?
It definitely would be an increase. I don't know. Do we know the amount of increase it would be?
In some communities. You know, a couple of our communities in our region now, they already have some kind of mandatory, if you're going to build a lot of housing, you've got to set aside some for lower income. But in a lot of our communities, they don't have that. They don't have anything like that. And so what we're saying is we need to do this across the entire region, all three counties. So that housing is available in every community for low-income people.
And in the Michigan Avenue corridor, you're recommending 30%. Why more there?
Because we know that that housing that's going to be built along there, or housing that already exists in those transit development areas, are going to be highly sought after. We know that the millennials want to be able to, you know, hop on the rapid bus and get to work or get wherever they're going. We know that seniors, as they get older, they're less inclined to drive. Them being on a transit route would enable them to remain connected with their friends and their communities and the organizations they love. And we think the boomers are going to go that way, too, as they age.
And that's called transit-oriented development. And it is a pattern that is used in a lot of communities that I think we're looking at here, too, as well. Actually, the Chamber of Commerce is also doing some focus on building a regional identity and looking at transit lines and looking at community development as well as we are. So I think in some ways we need to merge many of our initiatives together and form some task force and develop have a summit that talks about all these issues and how we're really going to work on them.
You do talk about a regional housing summit. We'll get to that in just a minute. To improve affordable housing quality, you also alluded to better enforcement of ordinances and adoption of certain ordinances. You suggest adoption of countywide ordinances, for example. What makes this a good idea? What would that do?
I think that would standardize what the landlords had to participate in as far as code compliance. And we've found that right now many communities do not have the resources for enforcement. On rental properties. Mm-hmm. So if we could develop a model, a model of an ordinance or ordinances that would address those issues, it could be used throughout all the counties. And then we would try and work with those counties to help them and assist them in developing resources to implement.
You seem to have done a thorough job in identifying a number of emerging challenges. The ICE report finally recommends, as we mentioned a minute ago, a regional housing summit and eventual formation of a tri-county affordable housing consortium. Assuming this is a good idea, how could this happen?
Wouldn't that be great? Well, we have to get, number one, business leaders to buy into this and support and champion the plan. You know, they have many employees and they are not always, they can be low-income employees. So there's a paucity of housing for those individuals. So we need the support of businesses and we need financial institutions, I would say, to help fund some of the initiatives. We need the communities to gather together to address them because they're all diverse and they're all distinct to their communities. The needs in Clinton County are not identical to those in Eaton County and in Ingham County. So I think that if we could get those groups together and get our citizens involved, you're going to see over the next 6 months and hopefully the next year, you're going to see a lot of our public awareness commercials, not commercials, but public service announcements. And then we are going to try and build on that to gather groups together to come to the table and say, I'll commit to being involved in actually implementing some of the recommendations of the plan.
We're talking with Catherine Draper and Susan Moriarty of the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition. Today is the day they unveil their work from the past 2 years. It's called Fair and Affordable Housing Initiatives, the Next 5 Years. It's a shorthand. It's called the ICE Report. Is this consortium or something similar to this consortium essential for the future of affordable housing in Lansing?
Without it, we don't go very far because we don't have a vision.
So you say you've got to get people together here.
You have to
really
get, yes. Yeah. And it cannot just be the government entities. We really need, regional cooperation, and we need, the Chamber of Commerce is involved in some initiatives now, too. But, all of those businesses, we need some community business leaders to come up and say, we really want to see more housing for our employees, and it has to be affordable. And we need more rentals. And what's the profile of our community going to be 5 years down the road? How are we going to attract talent if we don't have housing for them?
We see the consortium as the entity that's going to help all three of our counties, the entire mid-Michigan area, to make sure that we are implementing this plan and other plans that have to do with housing. We see it as a way for us to make sure that we do get some of this work done that we've identified needs to be done. Without some kind of an oversight group, agency, body, whatever it turns out to be, this is the kind of work that could get done sort of piecemeal, and we're never really going to get where we need to go. So that's why we feel like that consortium is so important. As a way to bring people together who are interested in housing, who can contribute to making things better.
And this is a topic no one wants to discuss, but it also involves money. Because it really does take some money to manage this kind of an initiative. And so we're right now seeking other grant opportunities so that this doesn't set on a shelf someplace and they say, that 5-year plan that was done in 2014 had some really good points to it. What happened to it? Where did it go?
And after the report comes out here today, will you be awaiting the responses of the City of Lansing, the Ingham County, MSHDA, what have you?
Yep.
Okay. What we're asking for is commitment for people to help come to the table, sit at the table, and actually be part of our solutions to this. It is really a growing concern in our community.
And 30 days from now, what will you hope will have happened in the next 30 days?
I think 30 days is too short a period of time. But what we're hoping was in the next six-month period, we will be able to gather our resources and get people to commit to actually having, you know, this summit. And from that, really developing maybe an affordable housing consortium that would truly address it. And it has to be all three counties. It can't just be Ingham, and it can't be Clinton, it can't be Eaton. So regionalism is, as you know, the wave of the future here. Definitely, we have to share our resources, and I think that we all have to work more effectively together.
Catherine Draper is the Executive Director of the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition. We've been joined by her associate, Susan Moriarty, talking about the Fair and Affordable Housing Initiatives Plan, the next 5 years. It's also nicknamed ICE. Thank you very much and good luck.
Our pleasure.